Anishtha.
And for the final time, I am Pragya.
Oh, don't say that. Okay. We're your hosts for this season of Intersectional Feminism Desi Style, brought to you by Feminism in India. Pragya may have given you a bit of an insight, but we're going to get to that more later. But yes, I do want to say that this is the last episode of this season, and we're really excited to talk today.
Yes, and what we are talking about is something really important and crucial at this moment, given that the current state of affairs in India is not that great, as we can see on Twitter and otherwise. We have been witnessing growth in divisions across, say, different communities in India, and the trans community too has been on the receiving end of various anti-minority laws, communal hatred, and obviously the highly, highly problematic trans bill. Then again, we had the pandemic, and there was a deliberate neglect towards trans people and a general sense of hostility towards them. So in such a situation, I think that as a person from a non-trans community, it becomes very important to be better allies and join the trans rights movement in whatever capacity possible. We must try to create more spaces for dialogue and generate sensitivity towards the trans rights issues. But at the same time, we also mustn't speak on behalf of the community like we often see in Bollywood these days. So there are obviously many nuances to the trans rights movement, and one of the biggest one is the fact that trans people are not defined solely by their trans identity, but they live within various intersectionality of identities. They have caste, class, religion, all of these identities which to affect their lives and their everyday experiences. So we need to have this comprehensive understanding of the trans rights movement, and our resistance must not be, say, limited to all the Twitter talk. And so today we are going to talk about how to become better allies for the trans rights movement. And we have a very, very special guest with us today.
We are very excited and honored to invite on our podcast show today, Jamal Siddiqui. He's a trans man and describes himself as a nerd. At least that's what his Feminism in India author post says. He's the co-founder of Trans Men Collective, and activism and writing are some of his favorite hobbies. He believes in queer feminism, is an animal lover, and a YouTuber. Thank you so very much, Jamal, for being here with us on the show today.
Hi, everyone.
So, like I mentioned before, that I mean, our country has been discriminatory towards trans people for as long as one can remember. And I do not know, Jamal, if you feel the same, but I'm sure there are various experiences that you would like to share with us. And given that very recently, there's also an increase in transphobia and trans negativity. And these things also have reflected on laws and policies and in general, trans people's everyday experiences. We want to know, where does intersectional feminism and trans rights activism meet in your life?
I think for me, intersectional feminism has been a savior for me, to be very honest, and in my life. It gives me understanding about whatever structures are there and whatever structural discrimination I've faced. And it also gave me awareness of my own stance in many ways. I think most of the people inside and outside community who hold the power in many sense made me and many people like me feel that the discrimination which we face, the shortcoming or the being lagged behind, is our fault in some ways. But I think most of the time it is the privilege that other people hold that give them that natural push or easy access to the resources available. So I understood these things, and it made me realize that the lack of confidence which I had comes from the fact that I am a minority and kind of have a minority stress. So coming to the trans activism, or I should say trans men activism, feminism is a rare sight. Like any other activist space, trans activism is also dominated by Hindu, upper class, able, upper caste, binary people. And many times it is dominated by male assigned at birth. So being Muslim, trans men, I find my peace in feminism. However, I do also find myself struggling. Like I also hold a lot of privileges like English speaking, able body, Muslim but yet upper caste, and so on. And also because in the recent times there has been a lot of growth in right-wing trans activism, which is dominating the space right now. Personally, the important lesson that I have learned is that equity is the solution and equal power distribution and giving voices to the people who are not being heard. So with TMC, that's what we are trying to do in our work also.
Thanks, Jamal. I think you bring up a really important discussion on how even currently within, and this is something that we keep coming back to, Pragya and I have come back to this a lot, is that even within so-called liberal progressive circles, one finds that there is a certain amount of hegemony that comes with, like you'd mentioned, certain privileges, be they of, being non-disabled or of being from a certain religion. And one almost saw these things get exacerbated during the COVID-19 pandemic. We're almost coming now to a year of this, whatever this year has been. And the pandemic was a real shocker. But, as it progressed, and I'm especially talking when there was some sense of sort of being, some mystique and intrigue and everybody was trying to find out what's going on, we saw that the same, marginalization and oppression that minorities in India faced, they only increased many folds during the lockdown and because of COVID-19 protocols. And one cannot actually sort of forget this sort of communal charge that had happened right in the beginning where, for some reason, people found a way to make even this a communal incident. And there were rampant incidents of, violence and exclusion against trans people, against Muslims. So can you elaborate for us a little bit? What were your experiences with the COVID-19 pandemic?
So I would start by sharing one experience which I had. So when this COVID lockdown things were in their early stages, so jab ye tabligh jamaat wala whole thing was going on, ki Muslim COVID phaila rahe and all that. So jab thoda sa khul gaya tha COVID and then jo vehicle authorized the unko access tha travel karne ka. So one of my friend jinke cousin bank mein kaam karte the, unka was the vehicle which was authorized to travel and all. So I had to travel from one place to another. So I asked my friend if he could help me out in that. So what happened was his mother said ki hum isko nahi leke jayenge kyunki ye to Muslim hai. And then there was a lot of things she said ki Muslim hai to COVID phaila denge aur ye kar denge, wo kar denge, aisa kar denge. Eventually, after a lot of fights, that cousin came to pick me up. But even in that whole journey, I could sense that uneasiness which he had. That also made me feel very weird. I mean, that was very uncomfortable for me as well. And also, like for instance, jaise hum Transmen Collective mein jab hum kaam kar rahe the, jab COVID ke time pe, so we had a lot of case. Ek hamare paas case aaya tha, for instance, jahan pe jab Delhi, I think government jab food distribution kar rahi thi, so there was this trans person jinko us line mein hi nahi khada hone diya ja raha tha, because they were trans. And they were in a very bad shape. Unke paas rehne ke liye jagah nahi thi, khane ke liye kuch nahi tha. And also, a lot of trans people had to live with their families, which led to a lot of mental, emotional, physical violence. And one thing which we found very interesting in that whole thing was ki forced marriages, which was happening in that time. Ki matlab COVID ke time pe bhi logon ko shaadi ki padi thi. I mean, a lot of trans men approached us ki humko zabardasti shaadi ke liye force kiya ja raha hai, ya ladke dikhaye ja rahe hain. I mean, that was like another level of weirdness. And a lot of people also, because of these things, ran away from their families. And then they have to face a lot of money problems. Matlab paisa nahi tha bilkul bhi logon ke paas kuch bhi karne ke liye. So these are the problems which we came across in that COVID times.
Yeah, thank you, Jamal. I mean, we also received a lot of submissions from trans people who told us that once the lockdown was imposed, then they had to go back to their houses, which weren't that great places to live in because there was so much violence and trauma that they had experienced before. And when they started living outside the house, it was better because they were living with other people who, you know, who understood where they came from, or even their friends and the community. So yeah, we also received a lot of these survivor stories with respect to the lockdown and what kind of impact that that it had on trans people. And moving on, I'll go back to your first answer about how you, I mean, you as a person from the trans community realize that you have had relative privileges over, say, other trans people. But, you know, like even the CISET community is so, so privileged, but they often falter in their language, actions, and their activism when it comes to, say, to show solidarity to the trans community. Of course, I'm not only talking about the recent Bollywood representation, or let's just call it misrepresentation, in the form of, say, Lakshmi Bomb and Pati Patni or Panga and all of these things, but also in very liberal feminist spaces, there is very little understanding of the trans rights movement, the power hierarchies that we have in our lives, the spaces for leadership and even in general community building is very, very problematic, and you hardly find trans people in these development sectors or think tanks or the social sector, as we call it. So how do you think this can change?
I think no doubt this cisgender heterosexual people control most of the spaces, and they are one of the biggest players in the whole thing. But and also they're also a kind of enablers, jo bhi unke narratives ko ya jo bhi unko suit karta hai, they give visibility to that thing only. Like I remember there was this one meeting, this feminist meeting with trans people, kind of a meeting was there, jisme we also went. And because me and my friend Ritvik, we had, I mean, lack of the words, I have to say cis passing. We have good cis passing. So when we were entering that that whole meeting, so in the registration section, humko bola gaya tha ki aap 400 rupees dijiye aapko meeting enter karne ke liye. And we were like, ki matlab hamare liye meeting hai, to humse kyun paise mang rahe hain aap? And so that was a little weird for us. And then in that meeting also, there was this one woman, I would not name the person, but she was like, ki mujhe gender neutrality samajh mein nahi aati hai. And then we were like, ki matlab itna bada NGO hai, thoda Google kar lo. Anyway, that's about it. But also, but when we come to LGBT community also, the whole cis people control all the power and the resources. Most of them, they do. And when it comes to trans people, especially trans men, humko tokenism ke tarike se bula liya jata hai. And matlab bula to lete hain, but then the thing is that I'm the only trans man there speaking about my issues. But mujhe sunne wala koi nahi hai because nobody is interested in listening to my issues. And there are like 30 trans women talking about their issues. I think how we can resolve this thing is because of I think equal representation is very important, but equal representation bhi aisa nahi hona chahiye ki sirf aap naam ka equal representation kar rahe hain, power redistribution bhi hona chahiye uske sath sath. And I guess cis people need to step back when it comes to trans issues and trans things. And most of the time it happens ki trans logo ke liye meeting ho rahi hai, even with government officials jab trans logo ke liye meetings hoti hain, I think 95% log to usme cis baithe hote hain. So I think people need to step back from these things and let trans people speak about their issues.
So you know, I was going to ask about your like again the point that you said about how a lot whenever one is talking about the trans rights movement. And this is something that if I were to share something and be vulnerable and share something slightly personal, is I have found this to be a gap even in what I'd like to believe is my process of doing work or bringing out stories, is that one often ends up speaking to trans women, and even within the trans rights movement there is intersectionality within that movement, and there's a narrow perception even to what trans persons are supposed to look like. So can you elaborate a little bit, jaise, aapne kaha that there are some experiences that you've had that don't get spoken about, or they're very tokenistically spoken about. So can you elaborate a little more on some interesting or unique experiences you've had as a trans man in your feminist activism?
How did Trans Men Collective come into place? Was it also because of the frustration that, that these spaces usually have either has cishet people or have trans women in them, or was it just, I would love to know how that came into place, given that we are talking about the social sector now, and there are such, like, I don't even know if there are any more such organizations who talk about, say, trans men's issues.
I think when I entered the feminist activism and this whole, and also trans activism, so I came across few, I would say, stereotypes about trans men. And I believe these stereotypes are also something that hinders trans men to come out and speak, or their activism in general. Well, the first of all, which from something that I heard, was that all trans men are toxic and patriarchal. Second thing is ki they want to be invisible, or wo visible nahi hona chahte hain, because they don't want to lose their male privileges. And third thing was ki trans men ke partners ke saath kaam karna chahiye. Like, I don't want to sound like that hashtag or not all men, but I know that eventually I'm going to sound like that only. So, and I'm just trying to give him some insight. I mean, there are two reasons. One, of course, we have lived 90% of our life getting discriminated, harassed, and finally getting acknowledged for our gender and getting that so-called power. And mostly people don't want to lose it. And second of all, this invisibility also gives a sense of safety, because at the end of the day, we are female assigned of birth. And logon ko pata chalega ki aap trans men hain, so there are a lot of chances of getting harassed and getting violated. And sometimes invisibility gives us that. And moreover, life journey to get that power, people become patriarchal. And sometimes people do make conscious choices to break that notion, and sometimes they don't. And also because this insecurity is there, that we are not man enough, and people become toxic, because our manhood do get questioned a lot by everyone in the name of not being able to make a woman pregnant or not having a penis and so on. And then there are a lot of queer cis women who talk about key forming support groups or for partners of trans men. But so I was having this conversation with one of my partners who's a therapist. And she was like, ki support groups sunke liye banaye jaate hain, who are survivors or who have some kind of issues and things like that. But I don't think trans men are the problem. If a partner is not able to understand the dysphoria or any part of the trans man's life, they're supposed to talk to trans men rather than forming a support group. And coming to the trans movement, when we talk about this confidence gap which women have, same goes for trans men also. Being female assigned birth, most of us face patriarchy, and always society made us feel like that we are not good enough and we need approval from male assigned births. And on the contrary, male assigned birth had these privileges and hence entitlement. So yeah, they do end up occupying a lot of space in trans activism.
So Jamal, like you mentioned that, say things like not being able to get a woman pregnant, and even in general this body dysphoria and in general, this body dysphoria that a lot of trans people experience is a very, very important conversation that brings a lot of nuance on the table. And here is where I want to address, and because we are talking about how cis people can be, say, made allies to the trans rights movement, so we often find that cis heteronormative language is a very, very big problem, even with respect to a lot of privileged spaces, especially when we're talking about health and SRHR. And a lot of trans people have tried to intervene and tell and also school a lot of our privileged cis hetero people about these nuances, but there is still a lack of sensitivity when it comes to the things that you mentioned, you have mentioned in your narrative. So usually, say, when we talk about things like periods or menstruation, we still find a lot of flack on the internet when we use the phrase people who menstruate rather than, say, women menstruating or women giving birth. And a lot of radical feminists come at us saying that, you know, you should not put people who menstruate because women menstruate. So in your activism and in your experiences, how have you navigated this realm of SRHR and, you know, periods and menstruation and health in general? What are the kinds of things that you get to hear, or even in general, trans men who you have talked to get to hear in their everyday?
I mean, to be very honest, it's very frustrating though, when we talk about SRHR for trans men, because from trans men collective's perspective, we are trying our best to talk to we had this conversation with a brand which is that pads brand. So we tried ki hum unse baat kare and they can also do something for trans men. I remember one experience which I had in my life is that when I was going for surgeries, so because of some doctor suggested ki aapko gynecologist ke paas bhi jana padega about for checkups and all. Checkup and all. So we waited there for like around 2 hours, and it was very embarrassing for me because I was looking like a man, cis man, and then I was waiting for my checkup in gynecologist, that hospital. And everybody was like, ye log yahan kya kar rahe hain, inke saath koi aurat bhi nahi hai jo pregnant hai, aisa kuch hai. So that was very embarrassing for me. And I hear this narrative many times, jahan pe trans men ko koi bhi problem hota hai. So it's very hard for us to find a gynecologist who is trans sensitive to at least see us, matlab at least meet us. Most of them are like, ye yahan kya kar rahe hain, ye aadmi yahan kya kar raha hai. And like recently when I had UTI, I didn't know where to go. So it's very hard for us to navigate that space. So I believe there are a lot of awareness work that needs to be done in order to make it more inclusive.
No, you're absolutely right. And I mean, so SRHR is something that we keep talking about. And, you know, one really finds this sort of negative attitude and this sort of unwillingness to even try and understand what the other person is saying, you know, like it's just this sort of blanket, you know, no, this is not okay. And and this is when we are just putting out content. So I thank you so much for sharing that very personal story with us. So, you know, I'm going to say a bit of a cliche. Am I allowed to say, like, do I have your permission to say something that's a little cliched?
Sure. Yeah.
It's a new year, and even though nothing has really changed, but, you know, when it comes to hope, some people do make resolutions for the upcoming year, and that can be to fight harder for yourself or for others, or to, you know, make spaces more inclusive and intersectional, make our speech and our writing more inclusive and intersectional. So do you have any resolutions for your feminist activism? What are the main challenges for the trans community in India that you think really need our immediate attention?
I think for my feminism activism, like, I have this strange conundrum. I mean, as I said, pehle nahi tha, but it developed over the years with my experiences with feminists. So my experiences with the so-called jo bade bade feminists hote hain, it's not been very great, to be very honest, who claims to be trans aware and trans friendly. And most of these feminists preaching about queer feminism are the ones who are harassing or discriminating against trans men. And also, it's very interesting to see how one who's being harassed doesn't hold any power. So my ethical conundrum is that, do I still believe in feminism or not? So I won't say resolution. So it's a journey for me in this year to figure out that whole thing for me. I think, in recent years, there's a lot of work that has happened, but there's a lot of scope of work that needs to be happening in the future or right now. So just say social structure, hai, economical structures, hai, education, hai, jobs. Hai. For instance, when you're in school, mein hote hai, the uniform is the first problem which we have. Then the discrimination in the school from the administration, teachers, students, not understanding what the child is going through or what the child is saying. Families hai, families mein acceptance nahi hai. Then society mein bhi koi acceptance nahi hai. Then jobs nahi milti hai, padhai mein problem hoti hai. People drop out of college, schools, a lot of because of discrimination, there are a lot of people who are dropping out from these things. Then jobs mein problem hoti hai because of the documents jo match nahi karte hai. And then कॉन्फिडेंस भी लैक कर जाता है लोगों का कि सवाल का जवाब कैसे दें कि अब पहले तो ये नाम था अब ये नाम है या गैप क्यों है. सो एंड जस्ट अ जनरल थिंग, जब हम किसी को बोलते हैं कि हाँ भाई हम ट्रांसजेंडर हैं, तो लोगों के दिमाग में तो यही आता है कि हाँ भाई हिजड़ा है या छक्का है या ऑल दीज काइंड ऑफ थिंग्स. सो दीज आर द अकॉर्डिंग टू मी दीज आर द चैलेंजेस. एंड पॉलिसीज में तो खैर बहुत सारे चैलेंजेस हैं. रिजर्वेशंस, जिसकी आई फील इज अ must need for trans people, jiska koi mention nahi hai. And these challenges also come from intersectional view. I mean, jaise for instance, somebody who is a Dalit trans man, who they would face a lot of more challenges than anybody from upper caste would face. So in that sense also, we need to work in government sector ya kabhi ko jo bhi policy making kar rahe hain, rather than just ki hame policy banani hai.
I think Jamal talked us through the entire idea around intersectionality and the importance of it, something that Nishtha and I both have been talking about since the first episode, and how intersectionality is not a simple or an easy thing to talk about, you know, because we need to understand as people that the trans community in itself also has power hierarchies and unequal representation issues. But when a particular group of people is a minority and there is such less sensitivity to their issues and there's such less solidarity around their demands, then to engage into the nuance then becomes even more of a challenge. So like Jamal rightly pointed out again about how trans people are not just trans people. Trans people are also Muslims. Trans people are also Dalits. And their demands are not just with respect to the trans rights, but they also demand reservations. They also demand, they also face a lot of violence, communal violence when it comes to their everyday life. So as people outside, say, the trans community, we need to educate ourselves. Like Jamal said, we should just if we are not aware of something, we should not always rely on the trans community to educate and school us, because that is itself can become a burden on them. So we can, there is so much information on the internet, so we can just Google it up and then and try to find sources which are reliable and become better allies to really understand the hostility against the trans community and make space for their representation. So I think that is something that Nisha and I, again, we have tried our best to cover in our podcast season. And I think Jamal gave a really good conclusion to all these episodes and whatever we were trying to stress from the first till this episode.
Thank you, Jamal, so much for taking out the time to speak with us today. It was a real pleasure to have you on the show. Do you have any parting thoughts for our listeners?
Firstly, thank you so much for having me. It's been great. I think as I forgot who said what, but somebody said ki it's not our responsibility to educate the whole society, but it's very, kyunki hamare upar bhi hazar burden hote hain, matlab we have a lot of things to deal with. It would be nice if people can read about these things themselves for a change.
Absolutely. And on that note of educating ourselves and as privileged, as understanding our privilege and making use of that privilege to help disseminate information, I just want to say I'm very overwhelmed, but bring to an end the first season of Intersectional Feminism Desi Style. Just a shout out to all of our listeners who have stuck around for so long. Thank you so much for listening in. And a massive shout out to my co-host Pragya, who unfortunately will not be joining us next season, but nonetheless is amazing and is going to do great things. So Pragya, thanks. Also, just again, thank you for listening in. We are not going to be back next Thursday, but we will be back very, very soon with the second season, where we're going to be breaking down even more feminist concepts, trying to bring to the fore more lived experiences, and really talking about intersectional feminism, as always, Desi style. For those of you who are listening and for those of you who've been with us this season, thank you so much for all your time. And as always, thanks so much for tuning in.